The month of June brings graduations, backyard barbecues, and inevitable travel delays.
We are on our way to Alaska on vacation, and our first flight was canceled, and we got rebooked on the second flight, and we're hoping that that works, because if we don't, we're probably going to have to go home and start over tomorrow.
Last week when I was traveling into New York, LaGuardia, we ended up floating in the air above Western Pennsylvania for about an hour and a half or so.
Sitting on the tarmac on the plane for about 3 hours before even finding out we're going to go back to the gate after waiting 3 hours in the terminal just to get on that same plane.
About a year ago, I was in Chicago and I was on my way back from a work trip, and the flight becomes delayed for an hour and then another hour and then another hour as they search for a crew and then a plane, and then they finally cancel it all together. I ended up spending about 9 hours in Chicago.
That was Jason Pratt, Vincent Batista, Brenda Williams, and Tina Strickland at Reagan National Airport today. Their experiences should come as no surprise, judging by new statistics from the Transportation Department. It reports that the last 4 months have been horrible for air travelers. Just 72% of flights were on time. David Field is U.S. editor of Airline Business Magazine.
I was surprised that the number of on-time flights was that high.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Most people in the airline industry have been bracing themselves for a bad summer, and I think travelers have to brace themselves for a bad summer. We're pretty much back where we were before 9-1-1 in terms of the number of flights, and the number of passengers is way up from where it was. We're back to the pre-depression levels. You know, the airlines had a depression starting in the spring of 2000 when all the dot-coms went bust, and business now is gangbusters. But what has changed is that there are no new airports. There's relatively little new air traffic control technology. And most of the planes that are being flown are smaller than the planes that were being flown before 9-1-1. And what that means is it's going to be more crowded.
And why isn't there new air traffic control technology?
Part of it is technology itself. It is very hard to change technology overnight. And part of it is there's an institutional reluctance on the part of a lot of the technology manufacturers, as well as some other forces within the government, the air traffic controllers themselves, to move to what the FAA wants, which is a new satellite-based technology that's not going to involve reliance on what they call aircraft-centric technology. Instead of having lots and lots of radars and lots of instrument systems, you rely on the satellite to communicate directly with the airline cockpit and tell the guys, the pilots, where they are, and that also communicates directly with air traffic control. And it takes enormous layers of complexity out of the system. But even if we had had agreement on this 5 years ago, we'd still have to have the technology fully developed, installed, and above all, paid for. And right now, the big logjam in Washington is how will we pay for the next generation of air traffic control? Will we raise fees on passengers? Will we raise fees on private jets? What come out of the general tax fund? And this debate's going to take a long time.
How much blame for the low on-time percentage rests with the airlines themselves?
A fair amount, because airlines overschedule and schedule dishonestly. By overscheduling, I mean an airport that they know can take 60 arrivals in 1 hour, they will schedule 75 arrivals. The FAA can't tell airlines not to schedule a flight to land in Chicago at 6 p.m., so the FAA just has to make them wait in line. Then you've also got the slightly dishonest scheduling of padding the times terribly to make up for being late. And all that does is instill the mentality of it's all right that you're late, so you get planes that are delayed beyond an unrealistic arrival time.
Isn't it bad for business to keep having late planes? Why don't the airlines fix that?
You would think it's bad, but look at the reality. Every time the airlines have raised fares in the last year, and it's about a dozen times, people still keep coming and lining up, and they're ready to give the airlines money, and they want to fly. Demand is out there. The airlines are simply not going to change their basic way of doing business as long as people are willing to give them money.
David Field, thanks so much.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
David Field is U.S. editor of Airline Business Magazine. He joined us from his hotel room in Vancouver, British Columbia, where he's attending the International Air Transport Association Conference.